This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Make no difference what you're going through. You're going to make it. God's going to see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face.
Join us for a word of prayer.
Father God, we come to you with bowed heads, closed eyes, open and humble hearts, just taking a moment to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching over us and keeping us last night.
Thank you, Lord.
And speaking one word this morning, allowing to see another day, one we've never seen before, one we'll never see again. For that, Father God, we say thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, Holy God, we thank you for being a mighty God.
Thank you.
We thank you for being a merciful God.
Thank you.
We thank you for being an all-time God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for being a loving God. For many times we come on showing your glory, but yet you continue to show your grace and mercy. For we again, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, in this corrupt society that we live in, we just say thank you for this. Thank you for yourself and showing us individually and collectively, Father God, that there's no one like you. Father God, for being a name above all names, we take this moment, Father God, to say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we just thank you for just continuing to watch it over and keep us day by day, night by night, Father God. And of all the many blessings that you continue to bestow upon us, Father God, we thank you for the ultimate gift to mankind, your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through his blood, we have life, and we have it more abundantly. Father God, we ask you to continue to bless this church and one of all the nations, churches across the world, oh God. Father God, we, the times that we live in, we need to hear a word from you. So, Father God, we thank you for providing that word. And you listen to everything that goes on around us. You show up and show us that your word is strong and it still stands tall. Father God, as our pastor comes forth this morning, we ask you to continue to bless her. Bless her and her family, oh God. Cover her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Give her a word that will touch our lives, touch our hearts, touch our minds. We ask for this message that's coming forth from us. We ask for the message that comes across to others across the nation, across the world. Father God, when we leave this place, let us go in better than when we came in. And go tell the world with boldness and gladness that Jesus is alive. He reigns yesterday, today, and forever. We have all these things in his name. For his sake we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you.
The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval." Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Friends, I invite you to stand to your feet if you're able for the reading of God's word. We're reading today from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, roughly 1 through 16, but a little selective or skipping around, if you will. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleases God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're going to skip to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we want to make you proud today. We don't want you to be ashamed to be our God. Lord God, so use this word to show us, to teach us, how you would have us to live, how you would have us to love in this, your world. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated, friends. The text tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your Bible might read, faith is the assurance of what we have hoped for. It is the conviction, the proof of what we have not seen. Your big mama's translation might have been, faith is when you know that you know that you know that you know. Amen. And without faith, the word tells us, it is impossible to please God. For the last month, we've been talking about pleasing God through our service, pleasing God in how we seek him, pleasing God by our sacrifices, our commitment of our gifts, our timber, we said last week. We've been talking about how we please God by pressing on, by striving for perfection, by pressing toward the mark of the high calling. And what is that calling? In its simplest form, it is to walk by faith. The Greek word for faith is pistis, and it can take on so many meanings, from belief to trust to faithfulness to loyalty. Faith encompasses what we know and what we do. Faith is what we believe, and it's the behaviors that those beliefs bring about. Walking by faith, y'all, requires more than strong legs. It takes strong minds, because our beliefs undergird, they support our behavior. It's what we know about God that empowers us to trust God. It's what we know about God that empowers us to be faithful to God. And what do we know? We know that God is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We know that God sees the end of our story even from its very beginning. We know that our God is faithful. We can triumph, we just sang, because that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We know that God is great and greatly to be praised. We know that our God is generous in love and rich in mercy. We know that God is better to us than we have been to ourselves. Some say he's a keeper. Others say that he's a mind regulator. We know that God is the source of every good and perfect gift that comes from above. And who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? Who wouldn't want to be loyal, to be faithful to that kind of faithful God? What we believe lays the foundation for our trust. And that, friend, sets the framework for our faithfulness. So what do you believe? What is the substance of your faith? What keeps you pressing on? What keeps you striving for perfection in Jesus's name? What do you believe about God today? And we have to know that how we walk out this faith, it's going to look differently for everyone. Someone will face health issue after health issue after health issue and still believe God to be a healer. Someone else will be in a battle in their own minds and still trust the word when it says that God guards our hearts and minds with the peace of Christ. Walking out faith for somebody else is going to be a financial struggle, and yet you're going to keep hearing them sing, "I know you as provider." They're going to always be humming, "Waymaker, miracle worker." Somebody else, the faith walk, in order to do that, they have to walk through their fear of the future. And just when they're about to give up, just when they're about to turn around, they might hear the voice of their grandparent or their great-grandparent saying many things about tomorrow. "I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." The path is going to be different for everyone, but the calling is the same. We walk by faith. Believe, trust, be faithful, be loyal. One translation of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1, reads this way: "Faith is the firm hope in a promise from which we do not shrink back." Faith is the firm hope in a promise from which we do not shrink back. That entire chapter of Hebrews 11 tells the story of people of faith who did not shrink back. The text calls the roll, "Noah, are you here?" "Yes, I will build an ark even though I have never seen a boat and it ain't bit more raining right now." "Abraham, are you here?" "Yes, I will move from a perfectly good home to a promised land that I know nothing about." "Sarah, are you here?" "Sure, I'll have a baby. Not because I believe in the ability of my own barren body, but the word says because she believed in that the one who promised was faithful." Amen. The roll call of the faithful goes on to include Moses and Rahab, Samuel, David, the prophets, and more. And I imagine if we were still writing the story of God's children, and we are, our ancestors who taught us the faith would be on that list. You would be on that list. Faith is the firm hope in a promise from which we do not shrink back. And friends, we do not come from a shrinking back people. I believe this faith list would include our freedom fighters, from Nat Turner and Harriet Tubman to Malcolm X and Ida B. Wells Barnett. I believe the faithful list would include our prophetic poets, the Phyllis Wheatleys and Maya Angelous, alongside the Langston Hughes and the Counts Cullens and so many more. That faith list would include our teachers, many of you, our teachers, our preachers, our grannies, our pawpaws, and whoever else taught us to walk by faith. Friends, who taught you about God? Who taught you how to read your Bible, how to study the Word of God? Who taught you to walk by faith? And just as important as those questions, who are you teaching? Whose faith walk did you watch? Who is watching you walk by faith? I think about it in the same way that little girls try to stumble about in their mama's high heels or put on their granny's earrings or grab her purse. The way little boys try to put on daddy's tie and it hangs clean down to the floor, or wear his hat and it covers their whole head. In the same way that we learn, we watch people just learning how to be who we are. We watch folks to learn to walk by faith. And so I wonder, would those who taught us the faith be proud of our spiritual progress today? You remember the very first time you tied that tie right or cut the grass to your father's approval and you heard, a good job, son. You remember the very first time your pie crust wasn't too crumbly or the cake didn't fall, and your grandma or auntie said, girl, you got this. Surely the same pride that our ancestors felt in earthly matters, they have that pride regarding us in matters of faith, in matters of the spirit. And so I wonder, are those who taught us the faith proud of our spiritual progress? I know that I watched my grandmother read her Sunday school lesson every single day of the week, sitting in her favorite chair by the window. So I wonder, when she peeks out of heaven's windows and she watches my devotional life, does she see what she planted in me? Before we had Google, I had an auntie that I could call for a scripture reference any time of day on any topic, and she would say, give me 5 or 10 minutes, and then call me back with the word that I needed. I wonder, when she looks down on me, is she proud? What does she think of how I have hidden the word of God in my own heart? Next week is the Sunday that we officially mark All Saints Day in the life of the church. But the actual day is November 1st, tomorrow, a day to remember not just the saints of the church, but our loved ones who passed away. Friends, it's from that celebration of life that the world was introduced to All Hallows Eve, which morphed into Halloween. It's rare that Halloween is on a Sunday, so I couldn't resist the urge to explore that and its Christian roots a bit more for us. Halloween, the word hallow itself, is a synonym for saint. The Lord's Prayer helps us understand that. Hallowed be thy name. Hallow, holy is thy name. No matter how many creepy costumes, Chucky, Squid Game, skulls you see today, All Hallows Eve is a celebration of life and not death. It's on this day that people thought the veil between the living and the dead was thinner, so you had more access to that great cloud of witnesses that we talk about, that we'll preach about, who are cheering us on in this life. So that day was a day to seek the wisdom, the comfort even, of those who had gone on before you. The celebration started in connection to harvest festivals, agriculture festivals, and we get that right. Jesus taught from nature, from agriculture, all the time. What did he say? I am the true vine. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, and you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. What else did he teach us? That unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it just remains one seed. But when it dies, it produces many seeds. So any of us who love our lives, love our little seed, will lose it. And any of us who sacrifice our lives, who plant our seeds in others, will prosper. In nature, we understand that this year's crop often grows from last year's dead seed. In life, we understand that we grow in accordance to the seeds planted in us, especially those who taught us the faith. The song says, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time and prayed for me. And I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. The writer says, my mother prayed for me. My father prayed for me. My pastor prayed for me. Just take a moment to imagine how our growth is linked to the prayers of those who came before us. One person said it this way: we are our ancestors' wildest dreams. We are the results of that unshakable hope of a people who did not shrink back. And so now we're entering a season of thanksgiving, a season of remembering the saints, the hallows, the martyrs, all of those departed from us physically, but never in our hearts, never in our spirit. And I wonder, how did we let our capitalistic, candy-buying, costume-needing culture hijacked this blessed moment in the life of believers? And don't get me wrong, Pastor ain't against candy, because I still been eating my fall festival Jolly Ranchers, Starburst, and the Snickers. I wasn't gonna tell it all, but there it is. I still been on my fall festival candy, so enjoy that. But I just want us to make space for the holy, the hallowed part of All Hallows Eve. The church was celebrating this day as far back as the 4th century, history tells us. Folks were laying flowers on the graves of their loved ones, lighting candles on the graves of the departed, much like we might do on Mother's Day or Father's Day or on your loved one's birthday, or the day that they left this earth. This was simply just one day for everyone to collectively remember that great cloud of witnesses. Friends, I would suggest to you that it's only when we're not walking by faith that the world can hijack the church's traditions. And the world will try to hijack even the church's gospel, amen, to distort it for its own purposes. More than once in the life of the church, we've allowed the world to make sacred things seem like scary things or sinful things. So how do we get back on track? The word in this text says we walk by faith. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 calls the roll. gives us a long list of people who did incredible things by faith. Each verse, we only read a portion, but read the whole chapter in your study time, your worship time this week. Each verse begins, by faith, Moses did this. By faith, Abraham did that. By faith, Sarah did this. And like them, church, we press on by faith. We strive for perfection. We strive to live hallowed lives, holy lives by faith. Our belief, our trust, our faithfulness, our loyalty. What does it look like for us to not just have a faith walk, but to have a faithful walk, to have a loyal walk? Walking by faith, walking faithfully is so easy to say, but sometimes very hard to do. One way we do it is by putting one foot in front of the other and pressing our way here each week. No, your pastor won't let this every Sunday thing go. Because we're not a circuit church. Our discipleship can't be put on pause. So I stay on this every Sunday kick. Because every Sunday that we have the health and the strength God gave us, then we need to show up for God like God shows up for us. And if I'm preaching to the choir, if I'm not talking to you because you're here every week, then let someone else know that I'm talking about them. Amen. Amen. We have to press our way here every week. We're called not just to walk by faith with belief and trust, but to walk faithfully, to walk loyally. By faith and faith alone can we do the work that God would have us to do. It can't be done from our couch or by occasionally committing to the faith community. We can't do what God would have us to do on Sundays alone. By faith, we worship as a body of believers, and then we're sent out into the world. That's who we are as the church. The word ecclesia means the called out community of God. And then we're sent right back into that same world to witness all week long. By faith, you can go to one more administrative meeting because sometimes something miraculous happens in the name of Jesus, even in a meeting, even through our faithfulness to our ministries. By faith, we can and will let our light shine no matter who is trying to snuff it out. Hebrews 11:2 tells us, indeed, our ancestors by faith received God's approval. Received God's approval. The text goes on to say, the part that we ended with, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for God has prepared for them a city. Friends, does our faith walk make even God proud? I know we get proud of the song we sang. We get proud of the sermon we preached or the service we rendered to somebody. But the real question is God proud? And heaven forbid, is there ever a time that God is ashamed of the ways that we've shown up in the world or not shown up in the world? In Jesus' name. And don't tell me that it's not possible for God to be ashamed of God's creation, because if it wasn't, this verse wouldn't be here. Amen. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I wonder what could we do to make that verse true in our lives. Hebrews 11 recounts the faith of God's people throughout the ages. And if the story of God, the story of the children of God is still being written, and it is, what would be said about us? What are we doing by faith? We come from a people who do not shrink back. We come from the Moseses, the Abrahams, the Sarahs, the Gideons, the Rahabs. We come from folks who held fast to a promise. We come from mothers and fathers, grandparents, church elders who planted seeds of faith in each of us. Folks who held on to hope as they pursued God's promises. Folks who taught us the faith, who planted seeds in us. If we are our ancestors' wildest dreams, what are we doing to make them proud? If we are the children of God, what are we doing to make God proud? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.